your drop. Sweeties.
Hey everyone, I'm Wa.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to DocuSweeties.
We're two longtime friends who discuss the riveting and sometimes trashy world of reality TV and docuseries.
Yes, but through our own lens, which can be fussy, mussy, you know, prissy and wissy, but at the end of the day, hopefully mildly sweet.
Hi.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
Talking about, yes, honeys, 90 Day Fiancé, This Is Happily Ever After, it's Season 8, Episode 5, Fuss in Boots. No, it's Fuss in Boots. Now, I'll tell you why fuss is funny. If you speak Arabic, kind of like Arabi Shuayi, if you will, fuss is fart.
Oh.
So fuss in boots is just like farting in boots, which makes no sense because your feet are, your butt isn't, but the idea of fussing in boots is like, wildly funny to me. Wildly.
It's good to know. I think whenever you give us a little insight on the Arabic words, it's always fun. So I thought that this was a good episode overall. It was good. Rube and Sophie drama. It was decent. Jasmine and Gino. It was Patrick and Thais. Like, their intro was so stupid. I was so annoyed.
Of him just like,
yeah, working out. Yeah. And then, Nicole really solidified who she is as a person at the end of this episode.
This is, okay, the wildest, this way, I won't say wild anymore. The most insane thing to me this season is the pendulum shift of Nicole. Nicole, in the previous seasons, is one type of way, honey. And then now she has read all the internet comments and she's either upset or whatever. And she is like, she is day two having brought this person for the first time from his fabric store in Egypt to Los Feliz. And is only too happy to make him feel as horrible as she felt the entire time. And what is interesting is, for him, he wasn't the one perpetrating her struggle in Egypt. But for him, she is the one making it a nightmare for him here.
Yeah, and she thinks that she is so right.
I know it.
And as somebody who is a seasoned lady, for her to believe that her behavior is right means that she hasn't had enough therapy. She's not the right person for this job. Like, it is so many indicators that she is not right in the head. Okay. And then we've got, I think, maybe you'll be proud of me for sniffing this out, some trumped up charges, when it's some fakeness, if you watch the reality gaze, some fraudacity when it comes to Ashley and Manuel. Like, this one was so unlike them and required Ashley to do a little acting. So she put on her acting makeup and just went to town, and it was so bad. So I call fraudacity, fakeness in this one.
Good.
But so I'm very excited to have been able to like kind of clock that. Okay. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So let's start off with Kobe and Emily. Have you ever noticed in the way that they do 90 Day Fiancé is that the first couple they give you, especially if it's like salacious or on some kind of cliffhanger, they don't give them back to you until the very end of the episode?
Yes. Yes. That's okay, how they great. Do it. That is, yeah. That is their bookends, because they're like, their thought is, come in hot with this. And then you're like, holy shit, what happened with them? And then you have to sit through everyone else. And this episode is okay. Now, as I realize also, I am going to fully be on die on the hill for this episode that there's going to be way too many couples. Because, you know, like, they... I don't know what they're going to do with Angela and Michael. You know, like, I'm not quite sure. But, like, we're not even talking about Ed and Liz. But there's too many couples. Like, we're not even talking about a couple. And yet there are too many couples. It's like, there's too much of them. There's too much of just, you know, like, I'll be honest. I don't need Alexi. Like,
I forgot about them, too.
They're coming back too, honey. And like her thing, I think like they showed us is about how she's going to want a tummy tuck and people are going to tell her how she's, oh my gosh, she's so skinny. You can't do a tummy tuck. You don't need one. You have no cellulite. You are so thin. How could you do this to yourself? And I cannot stand that storyline. I'm like, oh my God, please get me off of this. I do not want to see them at all. I think they're fine and they can live their lives off camera, but they were never interesting enough. I hate to say this, but literally he's hot and she has Tourette's and a story.
Yeah, and her Tourette's isn't the Tourette's that everybody thinks about. It's the, like, Tourette's runs a spectrum. And it's so interesting because I saw, like, maybe a brief part of that, like, story because I didn't watch their season at all. But I was like, oh, you don't have the Tourette's that we as a society know it looks like. You have a different, a lesser version of it, which doesn't make it any less, I guess, traumatic for somebody, but it's just, it was a weird thing to kind of jump onto.
Well,
because she was worried about giving it to the kids. Go ahead.
Well, it's what happened when she was on the first season and didn't tell anyone, didn't say ever that she was had Tourette's. And then people were watching and were like, why does she keep ticking? She ticks a lot, you know, or like whatever. Oh. And so she got all the online criticisms, not criticism. Mm. I mean, they're horrible. People are horrible people saying whatever they want about her tics or movements. And so she, mm-hmm. then she had to come back and be like, fucking, yeah, I have Tourette's. So I didn't want to say it, but you made me say it because you guys are nightmares and you guys figured it out or whatever. And so that's what happened.
That's so funny. But you're right. I don't think that we necessarily need to do.
Don't.
All these couples. I forgot about the last two. I mean, truthfully, I forgot about them.
Thankfully. I wish the producers had.
Yeah, it's a lot. They should have taken away one couple. You're right. And that definitely could have been Alexi. I mean, unless they're setting them up for something that they want to like test them to see if the audience will care. But Angela and Michael could go absolutely to hell. That's the truth.
You're absolutely right. I still kind of like, are they not going to bring them? Or are they going to have them on this season?
I was thinking is that they were going to end somebody's
life
story and then bring them in. So the same way, like they might end Rob and Sophie. Do Rob and Sophie have 22 episodes worth of stuff or, you know, 20 if they take them out of a couple? No. So I think someone's going to be like the Devin Nachahoon of 90 Day Fiancé or the like Sarper and Shekinah of The Other Way, where it's there. Someone is going to come in the last minute and we're going to forget about the couple. So whoever that is, maybe they do it to two people. Maybe they do it to one or two couples, but I think someone's going to have only a demure 10 episode arc.
That's so funny and so true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Who we're talking about?
Kobe and Emily.
Oh yeah.
Or anyone you want to talk about.
No, I was like, have we even started? I'm like, okay, so we're playing handball. I was like, did we start the actual thing? No. Okay, so as we know, Colby and Emily, he's showing her off, you know, to the Cameroon lifestyle. And he was a big-ass deal. We know him. He's, like, awesome. We love him so much. If we know and love him, we can only imagine this whole community of people that grew up with that smiley face all their lives, watch that little adorable little boy transition into a lovely, dignified man. And everyone loves him, and he is ambidextrous. Honey, he's playing handball with both hands. He's so good. Everyone's like, man, look at him play. You know, he can play with both hands. You know, like handball is kind of like soccer, except you're not kicking the ball. You're throwing it with your hands.
I wish that they would describe the the sport to us, because at first I thought it was going to be one thing. It wasn't. And I was like, great, I'm glad it's not that thing. So then I saw it and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. It is something else that is another thing that's foreign to me. So I wish that it had been like, handball is a game where it's like soccer or America, like whatever, like, you know, football or American or soccer, like something, and like give us an idea, because it was done on concrete, which I didn't expect. The goalpost was like a hockey, or not hockey, hockey and soccer goalpost. And I was just confused. And they were so into it. And I was like, what is the point of this game? What is the strategy, if you will? Like, how, what are the rules? So.
Yes.
That wasn't my note. That's why I was like, what is this? And so she's like, I'm worried that his friends are not going to like me, because I already heard smatterings of them shit talking me to everyone else. And then she's like, to her mom, she's like, well, I don't want everyone to be fake. And I thought to myself, that's such an American thing to say, is that you don't want people to be fake when all they're doing is just being polite. Like, someone cannot like you and say that they don't like you or talk about their issues with you. And then that does not mean that the first thing they do when they actually meet you or when they see you again for the whatever time, for them to immediately come out and be like, I don't like you, so blah, blah, blah. Like, you don't need to hash it out right in that moment. You just skirt around the issue. And if you know, then maybe you'll leave them alone. That's what I always hope. If someone knows that I don't like them, I hope that they would just leave me alone. But they don't. They don't. They want to confront me. And then I'm like, oh, you don't know. I will embarrass you.
You're kind of like the person that comes into someone's house, and you don't like dogs, and then the dogs just like run up to you and just like want you so bad. And you're just like, I hate you. You're kind of like that.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. So she comes out to play, to watch this game. It's a big deal. Now, she won't play, obviously, but she decides to, you know, change into the uniform, honey, and gave me PTSD. Seeing her in this uniform, honey, brought it back. I mean, brought it back to those times. I'm just like, why? Why? I mean, it's because it's men's clothes that, like, I just remember, I mean, yeah, I'm a curvy girl, and having long athletic shorts and like a man's fit athletic top makes me cringe to have on. It's like,
PTSD from what?
Pardon me?
PTSD from what?
Oh, like PE classes, camp. Anytime you had to wear, you know, I went to a Catholic school. So yeah, I had a PE class that had like, your own a uniform for us to work out in. And the uniform is always like awkward fitting shorts, horrible shorts, like designed for like a one body style and a shirt that's just not going to do anyone any favors. Like, I don't know. It's just never a good look for anyone. And so she wears it, you know, fine. And then, so this is what happens. Obviously he's a star. He wants to show off. He wants to play with both hands. He, alongside every other person in the world, including my dad, has knee issues. So this, like, a little bit for me also, PTSD of dealing with my dad's knee issues, is everyone in this episode has knee issues. You know what I'm saying? So, but he's the one that he just had ACL torn, and he got his ACL replaced. So he puts on this, you know, brace, and he gets out there, honey. And she is worried about him. And what looks like he just kind of like maneuvers it wrong upon running. No one actually hits him. He doesn't fall, but he like obviously tears or twists it just by playing too hard, which is, it happened so early on that I'm like, oh, well, you should never have played. I mean, that way you weren't ready for this. And so she comes over to see if he's okay on the bench where he's sitting with all of his bro team, you know, and he is watching the match. He's like, yeah, yeah, I'm fine. And she's like, maybe you have to, I told you. And everyone's just like, he said he's fine. Do you not respect him enough as a man to answer a basic question to you and for you to like take it and sit down? No. And the answer is No, because the truth is she could be like, I'm just a really like caring wife. But the truth is he told you he's fine. Now, you in that moment kept going because your own anxiety, because you are not being, you are not letting something affect you, which is seeing someone tell you what they want and need in that moment. You are projecting your wants and your needs. I'm worried. I want to make sure he's okay. I want them to think that I'm a good wife. I like want to be on camera, like whatever it is, comes pouring out of her. And she doesn't get that, like, yeah, it looks shitty to have like a high high pitched nagging voice constantly like telling you like to do something that you know you're fine. You're an adult. You're the one with the knee. You get it. You know, so I saw that happening and I was like, it's actually, I think, ideal because it didn't feel fake. And yet it's like the perfect foil for the conflict naturally of the fact that she is a nagging, controlling, like, you know, intense woman and he's lovely. And people are sad for him.
Yes. I want to know why she was wearing a different color uniform than him. Like, that was my main thing. Like, I was like, what are you wearing that everybody and everybody else is wearing something different? So, like, let's talk about that, number one. And I love that they got, like, dressed in the car and that she was so, like, happy about that moment with them too and being there and supporting him. And then they go and sit down with the families. The dad is wearing like a hat that is, you know, there to protect that little melanin skin. And I was here for it. I was in support of like of that choice. And then we've got a scene where she's trying to get Coben to be like, you know, sweet to the grandfather that he doesn't know. And it was very much like me trying to get my nephew to do things, you know, through his autism, where you're like, say bye, say, okay, can you give this person a high five? And that child was so reluctant. And I mean, listen, I love grandpa all the day long, but that smile is intense and it's got a lot happening in it. And
with the grandfather smile?
Yeah. Yeah. And so Coben is like,
he wants, I know it's a little bit too, sometimes adults are a little too needy. I know.
It was so intense.
No. Do it again.
No, I did it already. And so he, like, so that there's that moment where she's like, can you say hi to grandpa? Can you give grandpa a high five? And I'm like, where's Scarlett? Because that's the conversation that you have with Scarlett. This is a grown kid and he's making a choice. He has made a choice to ignore this smiling man next to him.
Right there.
Yeah.
He knows, honey. He can feel the gaze. Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, the new grandpa. That's right there. That one. Yeah, I can see it.
I don't want to talk to that one. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Oh. And so, yeah, so that's a funny thing that happens on the sideline. Now, as far as Emily being like, I'm going to have to disagree a little bit with your take.
Good.
Only because she's definitely doing it at the wrong time, but there's a part of me, and maybe that's the anxious part of me within her, that understands that she's going to have to take care of him if he hurts himself. And just like she's in full parent mode. I don't think there's a way for her right now with two children under the age of 5 or whatever, for her to not be that way, especially when her adult husband is making poor choices. And so she is going over there, and I get that she should be able to, I don't know, do something different, but they're in a place where she's probably like, I don't know how he's going to get any, I'm going to have to figure this out later. There's going to be a point where that's what I would be thinking. I'm going to have to figure this out for you later. You're going to be in pain later. You're going to be doing all this kind of, there's going to be troubles down the road that I don't want to have to deal with. Because I already have my parents here. I already have my children here. There's already things that I'm worried about here. And now you go and do something that's avoidable. And so now I'm going to have to worry about you. Because when you're in pain in the middle of the night
am I going to just remain asleep and be like, well, you shouldn't have done that. You're an adult, right? So be an adult in this moment too. Like that would be my thought. And so I'm like, I don't know that I would just be able to take on an extra level of stress, you making poor choices in a country where I don't know how to help you when you get ill. Which I'm going to have to help you. It's not like I have a choice. And you're still making these choices. Now, doing it in front of the friends, after she already knows that they think she's bossy. That's the dumb part. Like I can see her, you know, doing that. But at this point, I think she's trying to self-preserve. That's what I was thinking. But
well, you gave her a lot of grace. No, you gave her a lot of grace, honey.
Yeah, because that's what I'd be thinking. That's what I was thinking while watching it. I'm like, if he's aching in the middle of the night, she's the one that's going to have to get up and figure out and like massage his knee or whatever. Like the repercussions of his actions fall on her. He feels the pain, but the convalescing and the taking care of is on her, I think. So that's where my anxiety comes in, and him making these poor choices just to be cool around his friends. Like, I'm sorry, Kobe, you already have a full camera crew here. A full camera crew. Okay? You're already like the town's prince champion. We see it. It's there. Do you have to add more fuel to the fire?
Yes.
Okay, great.
I saw, you know, here's another thing is I also thought about. Kobe left being a model in peak physical condition. You know, like when Kobe comes back, he has a torn ACLU. He's lived the American lifestyle for a hot ass second.
ACLU. You've got a torn Jude, St. Jude's at a... Also a...
No, ACL. I know. ACL. LC, I know. American Civil Liberty. Yeah, I know. I fucked it up.
You've got a dislocated NAACP.
Oh my God, my torn NAACP. Your Peabody is real bad. Honey, got a bad Peabody.
Your Nobel Peace Prize, just dislocated. Just
the only one I have.
Can't get it back in.
Mm-hmm. So basically, yeah. So I think that he probably came back and wanted to show off that like not much has changed. He still can dominate in all of the ways, honey. But no, he cannot, you know. So I think it probably was a little bit of a learning situation for him and probably like not the best. And so I think it was probably a two-part disappointment. He already knew that he had fucked up and he can't play like he used to. And then obviously to have like, baby, when I told you, baby, it's just a little much in front of his friends. So she's right. Told what's up, which I'm happy about. You know, I want to say whoever's doing her mom's makeup on this trip is doing an excellent job, which I'm assuming is her mother. Her mother is doing her own makeup and she's doing great. Now her mother's not doing Emily's makeup.
Emily's not doing Emily's makeup. Emily did her makeup one time and went to sleep and woke up and never took it. Like, she's just been wearing the same, like, slept in makeup the whole time.
Yeah, she has eyelash extensions, which, you know, God bless that, you know, God bless she does. And she has great hair. But, I mean, she's just, everything is, she's in a full mom. Mm-hmm. She's in full mom mode. But, that's basically all I have to say.
And depending on when this was shot, she's pregnant. She just had a baby. They have their third baby. Congratulations to them. And the baby was born this year sometime. So like, and within like the last 4 weeks or something like that. So like she, depending on whatever, she's also in that maybe early stages of pregnancy. And so, you know, that's probably what's going on too. So Kobe tries to defend her when this whole thing happens. And, he has a hard time doing it because he sees that she messed up with his culture wise. I don't think any American culture, she would have been like too bad for what she did. And so then she has a conversation I don't want to call them the goofballs because the goofballs is very specific to Angela and Michael. So what are they, what's their name? Their name is the not goof. Pompous has already been used, but the know-it-alls, I don't know. I'll call them the know-it-alls. So she's having the conversation with the know-it-alls where they are like telling her what she did wrong. And she's like, okay, so me coming over, trying to check in on my husband is the part you have an issue with. Okay. And I thought she did a very good job of not going off on them. She actually listened to what they said. She's like, I want to know if we have a problem because Kobe's here and he loves all of you. And so then they explained to her that the fact that he lives underneath her father's roof is a huge deal. And so part of it is not even the fact that she's not allowing him to be a man. Half of his masculinity has been taken away because he lives in Salinas with that father. And yes. Kobe is now submissive because of that. And I'm like, now listen, we can say whatever. I hate to like, I don't ever want to go in on these like traditional gender roles. It's not necessarily me in all aspects, but I'm like, dang. So he's lost in so many different ways in front of his community. So you're right, Chris, this handball game was absolutely needed. Especially yeah. because his overlord father-in-law is there. So yeah, it's optically, it's all a bad look. And Kobe's just trying to deal with that bad look that he's getting from this family. His family who are top dogs. Like, didn't we find out from their first season that he's like a prince or something?
Yeah.
And so like, that's crazy. The optics mm-hmm. is wild. So she takes it. She doesn't argue back, but you can tell that she wants to. And I gave her props for that. Okay. That's all I wanted to say from them. All right. Gino and Jasmine, y'all. So we started this episode where Jasmine is crying on a park bench. How many times have I said that? How many times has that happened? So we start out this episode and Jasmine's crying. So we start out this episode and Gino and Jasmine have just gotten into the big fight. So we start out this episode, like, I mean, it's crazy. So she's crying on a park bench. I always wonder what happens to her makeup when she cries, because it feels like either she's got some kind of tattoo right here or she only puts the eyeliner right here. But it always looks a mess. And it's, I don't know what it is that the makeup just doesn't look good. So she's crying and Gino's like, "Hey, Jasmine, wait up, Jasmine." And he's like, I didn't think that her threats were really as serious as she said before, because she threatened it a lot. He's such an idiot. And then he's like, "How can I convince you to stay?" And then I'm like, "Jasmine, I mean, you know what you have to do to convince her to stay is get the lawyer." But he's still like, "I don't want to do that," even though he knows that she's upset about it. And so we've already had the conversation with with Donna. We've already had the conversation with Donna and Michelle and like, right? All of this. And so it's just so interesting that he still is like, "What can I do?" And we're like, what do you mean? That's a dumbass question. And she's like, "Will you start the paperwork immediately?" And he's like, yes. And I'll get a lawyer to look over the documents. And I'm like, how come he hasn't already started it? What do you mean immediately? How long has it been since you guys got married? Shouldn't he have already had it started and then just ready to sign once you actually get married?
Yeah, I mean, this has been such a weird storyline for them, you know? Like, he's been so late. He's been so, like, not really committed to it. He feels like, "I just don't feel like it's real." It's such a, I don't know. I really didn't feel like I don't know. I'm not really enjoying their storyline either. I mean, you're right. It's become also so monotonous to hear her cry. And, I have to go back. I can't hear him, like, say, "Panama." Like, I'm just like, oh, my God, give us a goddamn break with them. Like, it's – at this point, I'm like, are they AI? You know, like, it's all the same. You know, like, it's – I don't know if this is, like, a real or just, like, they're a simulated couple, because it just feels like, how is this happening? But, yeah, you know, I want to know if they're going to go back to the same lawyer. Is it going to be $5,000? Where's he taking the $5,000 from? If it was so hard for him to have it before, but now he has it, you know?
I mean, as the kids would say, Gino and Jasmine are such bots. Okay, let's get to the real point of this, to their segment now. The way she's eating this food, it makes me think that she's never eaten before. I have never seen Jasmine so hungry on TV. And so, like, he's remarking on it. She's added pasta and then salad for a little crunch. I mean, listen, it's not a bad thing. I love to dip, like, a little salad and then pasta and then have that, like, savory crunch. You hate that? Look at your face. You hate it. Mm-mm. Tell me more about it.
Well, it's like she what looked like got fettuccine, like primavera pasta. That made sense. And she does like a Lady and the Tramp thing, you know, where she has to get to the end of the noodle, which I'm sure she's played a lot of that before. And then she gets like some sort of dressing on the side. And it's like she thought it would be ketchup or whatever. It's like looks like salsa, but it's like she pours all of that into the pasta and just starts eating it. You know, like, I'm not quite sure if we're supposed to believe this is the beginning of them being pregnant. You know, like she's eating weird shit and like, is that, or I don't know. But I just like that when she was like, the fettuccine, I wrote down like, you know, let's play a game. The one that gets to the end, Gwyn's. She said Gwyn's. I was like, oh, Gwyn's.
Yeah. Okay.
She thought the red sauce was going to be ketchup though. So isn't it so much better that it isn't ketchup? Oh my God. And so she really though doesn't believe that he is ready to have kids. And I, okay, let me just, it is such a sensitive matter for her to tell him that he's not ready to have kids, especially because he really thinks he's ready. Mm-hmm. But to me, the indicators that he's not ready to have kids is the big glaring thing of him not doing everything he can to help her get her kids. Like, that is the him not understanding the fact that she's going to lose precious time with her children, and him just being like, well, they'll get here. Like, but Michelle and Dana completely understanding it as parents. And then certain choices that he makes, like, he's like, oh, I'm ready to be a parent. And maybe this is just like the millennial who didn't get everything they wanted in me growing up. But like, if you're not prepared to give your children things or have, you know, certain things available to them, then I don't think you're ready to have kids either. Like, it just like, so, but it's such a sensitive topic. So like, she's like trying to get him to understand that she's not ready because of his actions. And so therefore she's going to try to convince him that he's not ready because of his actions. And so she's like, secretly, she's like, I don't want to have kids until my kids get here because of Gino and his actions. But the truth is like, I don't think she wants to have kids at all. Go ahead.
Same. I don't think they're either ready to have kids. Why is he going to be a great father? Why? I've seen of all the women that he's dated, he doesn't, to me, seem discerning enough in the human existence and human expression to understand the emotional capabilities two people need to raise healthy adults. I can't see a world in which that man who has put himself in a situation to be like in a abusive, loud relationship with that woman over and over again has the wherewithal to raise healthy adults. I don't think that he understands women's bodies. I don't think that a man that is okay with spending thousands of dollars of his own money to turn an already beautiful woman into a robot woman is going to be a healthy man to raise any sort of children, much less I don't want him to raise female ones and tell them that they should get bigger butts and here's money and all. Fuck him. Gino's going to be a horrible dad. Jasmine's probably a horrible mom. And these people are going to pick each other and they can live whatever life they want. But I mean, by God's grace, I don't actually have children.
Okay, that's a fast hot take. Brought to you by Chris Farah. Moving on to Patrick and Thais. Okay. Now,
your favorite part, your favorite. No one has loved an entrance on a 90 day, much like the opening of this.
I don't know what song they used, but let's just say they said, get your motor running. Get out on the highway looking for adventure. Like, they've got this body of a man who's like thick. And let me tell you, Patrick's body, listen, I'm not. Hey, friend. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna talk shit about that. Cause it's still good. It's still in good thick shape. He is a thickums and I love it. And then we, so we see all this like workout equipment. We see this like tanned white body. And then we see him doing like push-ups or whatever ups, you know, and then the camera pans up and it is a baby. It is a baby in a cute hat so that they don't get any sunburn. I love that. I love those little bucket hats on babies. It's so cute.
Little baby bonnet kind of thing.
Little baby bucket hats. And so then we immediately have Thais come out and she's like, thank you. Give me baby. Like Thais, to me, it feels like Thais doesn't want anyone to touch that baby but her. Mm-hmm. And now I don't know that that's true or not, but that's immediately what I got. So she comes out in her little two piece trying to show everybody that she's she's got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, baby, she's got it. I'm your Venus. I'm your Thais at your desire. Okay.
See. So she comes out and she does that and she takes the baby away from him. And then he has the issue. Okay. He hurt himself again and she's upset about it.
Does he have the Thais torn ACLU too? Everyone tears them.
Yeah.
Like paper, honey. They're just so very delicate men. And they're
and it's because he went to go play a game or something. He went to go play some kind of sport.
Yeah, flag football, which is basically handball. I don't know what it is. You know, is it flag? Yeah. I don't know. Football isn't football. Football is handball.
So these
handball men, is football.
These men are just hurting themselves left and right to show their communities that they can still move.
I think handball is football with a basketball. Handball is football, but without a that shaped thing. It's just more of a round shape instead of more of an oval, right?
I mean, I don't know. I can't even tell you, Chris. I wasn't paying attention to what was happening on that field because as soon as it was concrete, I was out.
You know who was paying attention? Emily.
Yeah, she was.
Too much attention.
And you know who wasn't paying attention? Thais. Not enough to stop her man from playing flag football.
She doesn't care. She doesn't care.
So we find out again that he's part Brazilian and I still want to see a picture of his father. And so he went there. We all know the backstory, right? He went there, he matched with her on some dating site and, he decided in that moment when he saw her that he was never letting her go by hook or crook because he's like, I will never get a girl like this in the US. She is a 10, a 10, a 10.5.
He's tens across the board.
Yeah. And so then they lived in Dallas. Now they live in Las Vegas. It's not clear. Something happened. I forget. But they live in Las Vegas now, which is just where he's from. And it's probably it's cheap. Just like I don't know how much Dallas is. But they live there and they named the baby Alessi. Like not Alexi, Alessi. And I was like, oh, that's cute.
I thought it was maybe like Games of Thrones-y, but I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's also just Brazilian.
Oh, it's cute. So John no longer lives with them. And because John is a pain in my ass, her English is so hilarious.
Much better, by the way.
So much better, but also so hilarious. What I'm saying is this what Clayton wanted from Anna Lee is to just speak better English across the board? Because I forgot about like Larissa. Oh no, Larissa had to learn because Colty was never going to do that. But I forgot how fast some folks learn English. Karini. Like so many people have just come over and just learned English so quick. And then you got Anna Lee who's like, no, Clayton. And so they feed the baby a broccoli soup. And I am not here for it. It's looked disgusting. As she liked it, I'm happy for her. But it's always this like tightrope or this like double dutch, like where you jump in with parents who have babies that are 6 months because they're like, do we feed them solid food yet? Like, what do we do? What kind of solid foods do we feed them? And I don't remember having that with Ladani. I remember that as soon as someone told us that he could eat solid foods, he was eating rice and beans. Like we would just mash it up and sit it in front of him and let him be like,
yeah.
But these parents are not doing that. And there was another parent on TV who I saw that didn't do that either. And I was just like, why is everybody scared of just putting this mashed thing in front of this baby and letting this baby play. But they gave her soup, which is so weird, instead of just like mashed broccoli or like, I don't know. Anyways. Mm.
Yeah.
Anyways, so interesting to me. John comes over to put up baby gates. Why? Baby's not even crawling.
I mean, if listen, we know there is not a chance in hell that this entire situation wasn't like, well, how do we get John there? And how do we get, you know, like this on board? And how do we get the storyline going? Because there's not, there's no way that this is happens the way that they want us to know that's happened, which is John comes in and is like, hey, and they're all like, look at the guy who's now engaged, and which is perfect timing in the multiverse to give us this episode after the episode of the single life where he, I don't know, got proposed to. So now we know. And it like is like, okay. And then, yes, suddenly John, who just got proposed to and is now living in San Antonio with Texas Amy, is like, you know what I totally have money for and can totally do? Get rid of like my parent time with Riva and then just jump on a plane to Brazil with you guys for no reason. Now that I'm taking care of Riva in a wholly different situation. Like, this makes no sense, but we're supposed to believe that Patrick's like, yeah, man, whatever you want to do. And Tyce is like, mom, no, you know, cause she like does speak perfect English, but she still makes these like lovely noises when she's upset. Yeah. She's like, you know, and she's like, really? You already talked about this, you know? And he's like, oh, my voice is so high. And he's like, no, I mean, I just mentioned, no, I just like mentioned it. And he, you know, then he said what he said in front of you, which is that he would love to come, you know? And so we were just like thinking about how it'd be great if he came. He's like, no, it's not be great.
Makes sense for you? John, go to Brazil?
Because the truth is she's right. It makes actually sense for none of us. Doesn't make sense for the, it doesn't make sense even for John. John has no money. Babes, John is broke. Yeah. No money. Yeah. So why would he? And he does not deserve like a trip to Brazil just to have fun right now.
Yeah. What's the worst that can happen? What do you mean that John can just go over there and be drunk and belligerent? Like, the dad already does not like Patrick. Like, there's so many layers of the folk back home that doesn't like Patrick. I don't know. Obviously, John and him don't share the same father. So it's like, you don't want to go to meet your baby bro's dad. So it's just like really confusing. And then she's like, how did John know we going Brazil? And he's like, well, I may have mentioned it. Did you? She is so upset about him going, and she doesn't think it's a good idea to To the end, like just very belligerently, not a good idea. So far, we've just seen her be annoyed at Patrick. I'm waiting for her to not be, because she can't be annoyed and mad at Patrick the entire season, right?
No, like, I agree. We also want to see her have fun in Brazil. Like, I want to. Yeah.
The last time we saw her, she was mad the whole time. And I just don't want to see her mad the whole time.
Wouldn't it be crazy, though, if John goes to Brazil and just, like, finds someone, just, like, cheats on Texas Amy on camera? Anyway. Wow. That's what I thought of. Because I don't think he's a great guy. So, I mean, I don't think that he's going to, like, you know, he's not the Marion type. But, you know, I guess we're supposed to believe that he is. Do you want to move on?
Yeah, but let's do Ashley and Manuel and Rob and Sophie, and let's save the craziness for the last. Okay.
I have so much to do. Okay.
So much. So Ashley and Manuel, basically, they're at the airport. She's singing a bolsa song, but I thought the word for suitcase was maleta. So I was like, why? I mean, I get bag is bag, right? You know, but like, you know, I was like, it's a maleta though. And so we have a moment where I have never felt more closer to a 90 Day Fiancé character in this moment. Is me and Manuel being hangry. I wasn't even hungry while watching her. But as soon as that man said that he was hungry and she then does other things, I was pissed. I was pissed, Chris.
She's like, okay, well, you have to shower and I have to shower. I'm like, no, are you not going to order room service? Okay, why didn't he? I mean, well, he was hungry in the car. So once they got to the hotel, I was like, you didn't eat yet? Oh, why didn't you? Can you eat?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I, yeah, that was, that was such a, what was obviously the worst part for me isn't that she wanted coffee. To me, I'm like, yeah, just put a little canister in the weird Keurig. By the way, don't ever use your in-room coffee maker at a hotel. Those things are never washed, ever. And the truth of the matter is there's a lot of hard water and calcium deposits. Don't do it. But anyway, she decides to do it. She also decides to make another poor choice, was to take up time to have a weird tarot card reading where she's like, oh, well, there it is, upside down, all the cards upside down, saying that it's going to be a hard time for us. And it's like, you know, it's also fucking hard. You and your choices. Just get this man, I don't know, a little room service delivered over the room. Give him some fries or whatever. What can you do?
I don't even know, Chris. I don't know, but I'm still worried about Manuel being hangry. Like, I understand. Like, when you are hungry, when I am hungry, let me just speak about me. When I am hungry, nothing makes sense to me. Like, I am irritable. I want to argue and fight with everybody. I want everyone to get away from me. Like, I cannot be held back from eating. I cannot. That is, you know, it's funny because somebody was commenting about me going and eating out by myself a lot. And I'm like, yeah, because I cannot wait. If I am hungry, I must eat. And I cannot wait for you to like be done doing whatever you're going to do or why I can't. No, now. So that is why I've been successful at going out and eating by myself. Anywho. And so I'm mad at that situation from that. Then they finally go out, they meet with Jonathan, and she is, I mean, her makeup is so bad all the time. It is bad all the fucking time. And it bothers me to my core, you guys, to my core. Because I just don't understand what the problem is. There's so many YouTube tutorials. And maybe she's one of those people who's like, I don't have 5 hours to do my makeup. I just want to get in there and get it done. And it looks like it, boo. It looks like it. So anyways, and she's like, could do so many great things with her face. It just, this, the choices of these bad makeup looks is just like, it kills me. Because she's so pretty. All right. So then she gets dressed in a mint green satin Mandarin dress and they go meet Jonathan. And, she starts to ask Jonathan a bunch of questions, which is why I thought it was for audacity about him. And what, or who Manuel is talking to on the phone, because Jonathan slips and says that he's not always talking to Manuel. And so then she's like, well, then who are you talking to? And just the jealousy thing doesn't fit well on her. Like, as I can tell, it's fake because she doesn't do well with jealousy. Like, it's just like this whole conversation about who are you talking to? Are you talking to your baby mama? Jonathan, have you talked to the baby mama? And then like Jonathan being in this awkward position. And so then we have a little confessional from Jonathan saying that, yeah, the baby mama has asked him questions about Ashley. And, you know, and I'm like, that seems, if it were me, I would ask questions like, who is this new person now? The kids aren't with her yet, so I guess maybe that's the issue. But I don't see anything salacious or weird about the baby mother asking about her. Now, if we ever get to meet the baby mama, I would love that. That would make me very happy. Is there going to be a trip to Colombia or Ecuador? I hope. So in this conversation, we find out that there's a lot of Ecuadorians in New York. And, you know, he's really excited to be around his people. So he wants to leave. And he wants Ashley to leave. Sorry. He wants to stay and have Ashley leave and allow him to just be around his gentes and have a good time. Now she doesn't want to do that. She wants to do it with him. And I can see him wanting to be alone because he's just been with her this whole time. And maybe he wants a little culture that isn't her. And maybe having to deal with her emotional grid. But I do think that it comes off a little mean that he's like, no, I don't want you to come. I want you to go and I want to be with my friends and family. Like, it does come off a little mean. But I understand it because I always want people to go and I want to be by myself and my friends and family because I don't want to have to deal with anybody else's emotional grid. I don't want to have to worry about how they're feeling or whatnot. But that's just as a consummate single person. As a single person, like as a very single, super single, if you will, as I used to say. And so I don't want to be bothered with people and their endosecrecies when I'm trying to get my shit done. It's like, then you're like, we're not in a relationship. Why do I have to worry about you and how you feel? That's, you know, but you are. Okay. Next, Sophie and Rob. So Rob is upset. We're left off the situation where it's calling in Rob. So Rob is upset because Sophie did not tell him that she dated Colm as a teenager. And you know, all the fantastic things that happen in Portugal. Like, we at some point have to delve into what may or may not have happened in Portugal. These wild and crazy teenagers having a great time in Portugal, which is such a European thing to do. It's like, remember that time in France? Because when you think about it, if the United States weren't so big, the fact that those of us kind of fly to different states doing different things, or going to different states doing different things, that is the way in which a European moves around Europe. Like, they are able to just like go to France, to go to Spain, to go to Portugal, to go to Germany. So they can often have those like, oh, remember that fantastic time we had in Deutschland, in Germany? Like, they could do that in the way that I could say, remember the great time I had in California? Remember the great time I had in New York City? Like, we literally, the United States is so freaking big that if it were not as big as it is, it would be like being able to travel to different European countries, except for you're not. You're in America and not in Europe. So they had a lovely time in Portugal. And so he feels like it's now she's hiding something. So now she has to walk away from her friends in a very obvious and embarrassing way to go deal with his emotional grid, because he's upset. And he is like, yes, the ball is in my court. The ball is in my court. I have an upper hand on her. She fucked up, and now it's no longer about me online cheating. It's about her not telling me about a teenage love affair.
You're absolutely right. You know, like, he wanted it to be about her mess. He wanted it to be about her toilet paper usage. You know, he wanted it to be about her mom, but he felt bad about her and her mom because he knows that she had to deal with a lot with her mom growing up. So he can't throw the back in her face. But yeah, he absolutely can throw this Colm thing and like, also, you know, it's triggering for me because you know my history. And of course, his history is that his ex-girlfriend left him and cheated on him with her best friend. So he uses that to guilt trip her. Now what happens is, while they're talking and she's like in some sort of corner with that wig on, honey, Kay and Colm are like clocking it. And Caleb's like, I got to go over there and make sure everything's okay. Which in itself, no, you don't, because she's married to this person. So, you know, like, and you just got here. And I don't really believe that you guys are best friends. You know, I don't know. How did you just meet the person that she got married to if you were just best friends? Like, only because Sophie and Rob had like different hangouts in different places before we meet them in LA at that shitty room that he lived in, right? They had stayed in Playa, then whatever. They had gone to Mexico, I feel like. They had said a couple of things. So there's no reason why Caleb, being her best friend, like, hadn't met him before on FaceTime or something like that. Like, that's what's weird to me. But anyway, so then Caleb comes over and is like, just want to make sure everything's okay here, you know? And this whole time, Sophie's like, Rob, I don't even really, like, think of him as a ex-boyfriend. We were kids. We just made out for a couple of months when we were 15, you know? Like, as if that was a thing. And so when Caleb comes over, she's like, tell Rob how we just basically just made out a couple of times. He fingered me once, Rob. It wasn't a big deal. You know, you're just like, shut up. Basically, Caleb's like, yeah, not a big deal, man. Just want to make sure everything's okay. And again, it's kind of fucked up because these people are married. So why would you be inserting yourself in? And it's, you have no place to make sure that everything is okay. Rob at this point isn't like being like, Sophie! You know, he isn't touching her. He's not even yelling at her. They're both pouting in a corner. Nothing is like out. Like, they're not okay. They're emotionally babies. That's the only thing you have to really worry about. But like, no, at no part is this getting out of hand in sort of way. So for him to insert himself is like, whatever. Rob does the best he can to be like, hey, Colm or Caleb or whatever the fuck your name is, thank you for coming over here, but I am going to continue talking who is my wife.
Okay, if that were his girlfriend, would it be different, or is it because they're married?
That's where it gets messy.
Okay.
Because, and I think it depends on how much of a best friend Calum is too.
Okay. So I guess I would have liked to see the girl best friend, the one she told that she was
bisexual. Okay.
The one in London. So before she came, she hung out with a friend who she told she was bisexual. And the girl was like, oh, and so you're going and you're going to marry Rob, but you don't know. Okay, that person is the person that we needed to see. She's had a lot of best friends. She had the best friend who looked like her in LA. Now she has Kay, who's like, I know Sophie. Like, I can just tell. I know Rob, and I can tell that he's mad. And it's just like, girl, you could tell Rob's mad because you made him mad so many times in the last 2 months. Like, why is it that you're now an expert on this couple? It's just it's just so weird to me, this whole situation. But Calum going up to them and talking to me is not the worst thing, especially because he caused this. There is absolutely no reason for him to have said at all that him and Sophie dated. None. Not even like I can't like that is such a 20-year-old thing to do. Like when you get to a certain age in your life, the only reason that you would mention to anyone significant other that you dated them is to cause trouble, because it doesn't matter. They're no longer with you. And so why would you mention that to the other person without having a conversation with the person you were in a relationship with first?
Yeah.
I can't wait. He's like, it's the lack of communication. It's the big deal. It is so crazy that this is what is happening to them. And then he says that Sophie has an unhealthy hold on him. So now it's not him, it's her. Like, she's the one that's causing the problem. And so now Rob is the victim. Now, you know, she needs to like suck up to Rob and go move back in with him because she's the person who's wrong. That's the problem with fighting the way that they do. They fight tit for tat. They don't fight based on overarching issues and or overarching themes that are causing each other distress. They fight over whose ball is in what court, who did the worst wrong to each other, who has the upper hand. She had to now live with him. She has to go and live back with him when she knows it's not the right thing to do, because she's quote unquote technically in the wrong for the Calum situation and making Rob feel bad. And so it is such a abusive and manipulative thing. I want to say that he's being abusive and manipulative by doing it to her, but also then that must mean that she's doing it to him, and I have to give him some grace because
she wants a green card. She wants a green card. She wants to live in. She wants to be able to live in America to have a green card, because she's not in love with him, and she doesn't want to stay with him at all.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad. I don't understand why she wouldn't be able to get one though. Like, as a Londoner, is there not? Maybe it's because she's not coming here for work. I don't know. Okay.
Last but certainly not least, honey,
Nicole and Mahmood. Ooh. Do you know that the gays call him Miss Mood?
That's so funny. But she's so moody too. She's like Moody and Mahmood, you know, yeah. Like, but he's moody too. Okay. So obviously, we pick up and Nicole is in the middle of this dinner with her friends, you know, and it's quite a motley crew, you know, of like,
crazy. Why did they put that seat there? Did you see that I put 5 top seating? Did you see that they've just shoved a chair right in the aisle? Why? I was like, that is, I don't want to sit here. I need you to get me a table that's actually big enough for 5 people. I'm not going to be that, like, a kid on a high chair that's like hooked to the edge of the table, just like sitting there. You have servers going back and forth behind you over your head with plates. No,
Anyways, that's why I write that there. It was a terrible seating arrangement. And I'm glad that he didn't go so he didn't have to sit there.
I agree. We would not have enjoyed it. But here we are with her friends and her backless dress. And her friends, Leslie, Olga, Olya, and Julia. Now, Leslie, I don't know when Leslie gets drunk, but it just hits her hard and fast, honey, because I don't know where it happens. Suddenly, Leslie is like, where's Mahmood? He should have been, like, suddenly you're like, who the fuck? No, I mean, he's not going to like you, Leslie. I mean, take a goddamn down a notch. And then in these moments, I'm always like, Chris Farah, you look at the screen right now. And this is why, if you are ever on television, you never have one sip of alcohol, not one sip. Because the minute you have one sip and you get a little comfortable, you turn on TV and you're Leslie. You're slurring back and forth or whatever. So basically they're all there like, hey girl, what's up? Where's your dude you were going to meet? And she's like, he's a fucking asshole. He wouldn't come. He got mad at me about this. So she shows him the dress. He's like, they're like, that's crazy, Nicole. That's wild. That dress is not even a problem. We were so excited to meet him. She's like, I know. That asshole. I just like can't even believe it's fucking happening. And then they're all like, Leslie specifically is like, you know what we're going to do, bitch? We're going to go bring the party to him. We're going to bring ourselves to him. And Nicole is like, great idea. That sounds
Super What's smart. His name? Jeremy or Julian? Okay, so Julian is the only one who makes sense in this group. The women have felt, I mean, Olga, she felt comfortable to let loose because she's there with her husband who brought her to the United States on a K-1 visa. They are David and whoever David went to Yugoslavia to meet or Ukraine to meet. Like that's Mike and Natalie. Okay. If should they have made it? That is Caesar and Maria if they had made it. Like that is that. So if any of you out there were wondering about Julian and Olga, Julian likes to visit Eastern European countries. He met Olga. She was okay looking for him and he brought her over to the U.S. And so she's living that life. Leslie, who knows, but she definitely got drunk very quickly. They're like, why didn't he come? And he's like, oh, Mahmood is not coming because he wants to get a divorce. Nicole, that is not what happened. Nicole, if you're going to tell the story, tell it right, girl.
Nicole's she crazy.
Completely lies in that moment and then sets everything up so her friends think that she is this shining star and he is this asshole who doesn't want her to be out in public wearing the things that she's wearing. Meanwhile, it's day two. And Julian understands that. He keeps saying, well, no, like, it's too early for this. Like, what's happening? Like, he's really trying to get to the bottom of it. But the other two biddies are not. They're just trying to be there for their girl and suss up trouble. Now, the fact that any of them can even comment on her dress and whether or not it is modest enough, it's wild the hubris that they think that they have the authority to comment on that and have their thoughts be correct.
I agree. So what they decide to do is they decide to just bring the fucking party to Mahmood. Mahmood is obviously still on Egypt time, honey, because this person is awoken from what looks like death chambers sleep that had on him. I mean, he looks like his face was like pushed into a pillow while he was woken up. I mean, he looks like he was in the best sleep of his life, honey. Mm-hmm. And then Nicole did him dirty. These banshees come walking in. Leslie's half drunk. She's like, you know what I want? You know, she's like, throws up in his face. He's like, what?
She's like, I want him to learn American culture by having friends over. I guess because like maybe in Egypt you don't, because they all 10 family members live in one little apartment. So she's like, oh, he needs to understand what's happening right now. And that's, I want to know if at any point in the car, she called him and gave him a heads up. But no, he was dead to the world sleep. And then
she didn't WhatsApp text him. You know, she didn't. There was no. Yeah, she was only too happy
to embarrass him.
Yeah. Nicole was like, I'm upset and I am going to make this a living fucking nightmare for you. Like what you did to me in Egypt. So I'm going to bring all these people to the house to tell you what a shitty person you are and how you've made my life horrible.
Yeah. Hey, Mahmood, my friends are here, is what she says to him.
And then she's like, can you get up? And so he gets, before he could even get out of the bed, these women completely haram, breach every, I mean, I was so upset. I currently live in a space, everyone knows this, Minneapolis has a large Muslim community. And the first thing you learned is don't touch anyone, especially opposite sex. Don't touch opposite sex. Don't touch opposite sex. Do not touch opposite sex. These women come into his bedroom, half dressed in his mind, and force a hug on him.
Yeah.
And he's like, it is against my religion for this to have happened. And yeah. And it's like, it to me was so, hugs are not, oh, it's normal in America. No. Shaking hands is normal in America. And if he didn't want to shake hands, like that, okay, then don't.
Post-COVID, you don't even really have to do that.
Yes.
You know, if you don't want to.
I mean, Chris, when they did that, the rest of the episode, it was hard for me to watch because I felt so upset for him.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because it feels like Nicole, I think, wants everyone to be like, he's such an asshole. But as he stands there awoken and he's like so exhausted, you can see that her friends are like, you look tired, no fucking shit. And then suddenly they're all drinking and Nicole's like, yeah, I know that part's bad. And it's like, it's bad because is this supposed to be his space? Like it was so really difficult to watch. I mean, I don't know how this is going to turn out well. And I mean, and spoiler alert, it doesn't. So I can't imagine it's going to last long because this is already like out of 10. But the weird thing is that this feels very real where everything else feels so fake. It's just so interesting how real this feels.
She had to pour them something because that's what you do in America. No, Leslie had already been drinking. You didn't have to pour shit. You could have gotten them all some water or some juice or whatever and made some tea. You didn't have to do that. But she's like, I had to. And it's her culture. And then they go to do that. And so he's upset. I put, it's a fucking lie. My mood immediately record scratches. Or that, did you put that? So she tries to like downplay like what's happening. And he gets frustrated at something. And he's like, all right, I'm going to bed now. They start to ask him about something. I can't remember what it is. What is it that they're asking me
about?
Oh,
I'm sorry. This is they go like, Mahmoud, why don't you go to dinner? And he was like, I was tired. That's all. And then she's like, you fucking liar. Tell them how you wouldn't want me to live. You don't want me to dress the way I did. That's what happens. She likes. So then he's like, I'm gonna go into the room. And that's when she goes in and is like literally starts cursing at him in front of her friends when he has done nothing except be awoken and then be physically assaulted. Like that's what I'm reading. But anyway, it's a nightmare. That's all I have to say about it.
Yeah. Oh my God, that does happen. She calls him a little hateful little fuck. She calls him a little hateful little fuck. Because he won't admit to strangers that have just accosted him that he didn't want to go because he felt she was improperly dressed. He gave a normal answer of I'm tired. And the evidence shows that he is tired. And then she's like, you're not going to sit here and make all of my ravings to them invalid by acting like you didn't want to come because of the dress. And I'm like, he doesn't know what you've told them. So how is he to know that you've been spilling the tea? And B, he doesn't know these people. Why is he going to tell them I didn't want to go because I don't like the way she's dressed? That just doesn't make any sense. And she gets so mad because I guess he's supposed to know that she was out talking shit about him the whole night. And so therefore, and now he needed to corroborate his a supposed bad behavior. In that moment when she called him a little hateful little fuck, I was like, oh, I don't have any respect for her. There's nothing that she can do now to make up for this because it feels like behind closed doors, she has been acting a fucking fool this entire time and saying all these crazy stuff to him. And that's why he acts the way he does on camera and she acts differently. She could not hide it in that moment. And I'm so glad producers gave us that because she's now, to me, going to go down as one of the villains of the 90 Day Fiancé universe.
Oh, honey, God bless. I have to see. I'm not going to say anything. I have to see what happens because of how we don't know how the DB thing comes out from what we know later. So having said that, we are done with this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to follow us, you absolutely can. We are at DocuSweeties on Instagram, at DocuSweeties on TikTok, at DocuSweeties1 on X. And we have a private Facebook group, the DocuSweeties podcast Facebook group. At the same time, if you want to give us money, who wouldn't? Well, we'll tell you how.
Yeah, so you could do so by joining us on patreon.com/DocuSweeties for $10 a month. We've got some exclusive goodies for you guys on the Patreon, as well as a live every first Monday of the month. So if you're at all interested in that content and you truly want to support us, please join us on patreon.com/DocuSweeties for $10 a month. But that's it, you guys. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.